Welcome back to the second half of Afternoons with Amos. I'm Amos Brown. Glad to have you here on this Friday the 13th. African Americans have been in Indianapolis from day one of its being a city in 1820. In the year 2020, Indianapolis will celebrate its bicentennial. And the Greater Indianapolis Progress Committee and a group of others have put together what is called Plan 2020. They call it a pioneering planning process to define the next century for the city, and is driven by an extraordinary team of community leaders. In the house is the chair of the Greater Indianapolis Progress Committee, which has been around since the 60s, so for almost... by the time it gets to 2020, it'll be 60, 70 years of Indianapolis's 200 years, Murray Clark. And Jimmy McMillan is one of, how do they describe this, the leadership of Plan 2020. Guys, welcome.
Thank you, Amos.
Thanks,
let me first ask Murray, for those in the audience that aren't familiar with GIPSI, the Greater Indianapolis Progress Committee, what is it?
GIPSI, Greater Indianapolis Progress Committee, indeed has been around since about 1965, and it's really been a group of folks outside the governmental structure that have tried to do things in a kind of a nonpartisan way that advances the city going forward. So, you know, we've been involved in things in the past like Unigov or Eagle Creek or the actual infrastructure, that the interstate infrastructure when it came to this area in the late 1960s. Of late, we took a leadership role in the referendum to build the new public hospital, now known as Eskenazi. We had a task force on the new criminal justice facility that I think led to the next level of communications or discussions you see now. And we've also acted as a facilitator, a convener. We're actually took over, if you will, the facilitation of the new public arts piece on the cultural trail that I hope is at about the 11th hour right now. And then this Plan 2020 is kind of the latest major initiative we're involved in.
The purpose of 2020, because when I first found out about it, I thought, okay, this is the thing that's going to celebrate Indianapolis's 200 years, look back at where we've come and where we're going. But that's not fully what 2020 is. What is it?
Right, so that we were approached by the Department of Metropolitan Development. You know, the city and through its DMD is charged with the responsibility of drafting and publishing every so often these different plans, whether they be the comprehensive zoning plan or the regional center plan or neighborhood plans and so forth. And I think all too often these plans are written well intentioned in a way where you communicate with the neighborhood and the stakeholders. And then come up with a plan that creates expectations in the community that the city is unable or unwilling to make happen, to implement.
Right.
And so we hope to avoid that. So as we move forward, the city has, you know, we're at a point in this city where we've got serious issues that we need to address head on. This is a changing city. So it's really a collaboration between the DMD that now is looking at drafting these new plans. And then, you know, kind of the folks outside of city government that are saying, no, wait a minute, here's what we want. We want our plans to be based on certain values that we want our city to reflect. And the other thing I would say about GIPSI being the logical entity to collaborate with the city is GIPSI has a citywide lens. So you have a lot of great organizations in this city that try to lead, involve themselves in plans, but have a much narrower lens than we do. So ours is a citywide nonpartisan look at trying to advance the city going forward.
Jimmy McMillan, you are one of four, looks like co-leaders as I'm reading this thing on the website. Ellen Adela, the retired CEO of United Way, Matt Gutwein, who runs Health and Hospital Corporation, you're at Barnes and Thornburg, and then the other, Rafael Sanchez, the lawyer, not the guy on TV, who's an attorney at Bingham Greenbaum Dahl. You are part of 12 committee leadership. What is your role, and what is, from your perspective, what is Plan 2020?
Thank you, Amos, first of all, for inviting us to the show to talk about this exciting initiative. My role as one of the four co-leads has been to work with the Department of Metropolitan Development and GIPSI to get this initiative off the ground. We have worked tirelessly, really, in a very short period of time to basically launch what we call a very small corporation, in that we've established the committees structure to effectuate the Department of Metropolitan Development's plan to essentially plan the next 25 years or so of Indianapolis. We've established committees, five committees called mm-hmm. Connect Indy, Love Indy, Work Indy, Choose Indy, and Serve Indy. Each of those committees has project managers who are paid staff who assist the co-leaders of each of those two committees and all of their volunteers to effectuate the vision statements that Murray talked about earlier, as well as some of the planning initiatives that we're trying to focus around as we plan some of the city's regional development plans, its economic development plans, and its other plans that it has to submit as part of normal city government.
Is this considered a top-down initiative or a bottom-up initiative?
I don't know if it's a top-down. I definitely wouldn't say it's top-down. I definitely would consider it more of a bottom-up in terms of we are looking for participation. One of the things that folks should know is that right now we have a public call for committee nominations. Our committees are not full by any means, and we actually did a whole bag of several spots on each of the committees. We had a public launch, which I think you announced Wednesday, mm-hmm. and we now, if you go to Plan 2020, we are plan2020.com. That's our website, www.plan2020.com. We are still accepting nominations from members from members of the community to participate on one of these committees and provide input.
What will these committees do?
The committee's goals are to meet, interface, be the voice of the community. Thus far, they have worked on creating vision statements, then to create goals, goals in terms of how we want the city to look and feel, what we want Indianapolis to be over the next 25 years in terms of goals, and then what the Metropolitan Development Commission can do is look at some of those goals and see what can we as a city do to facilitate some of the things that have been identified as targets and things that we want in our city.
239-1310, 239-1310 is afternoon's news with Murray Clark of Gypsy, Jimmy McMillan of Plan 2020. And you mentioned these committees are these are committees where people would send in an email or something and say, I want to do this. Is that correct?
Yes, I believe there's an application there's a simple application for nominations on the website, but we have committees established right now, and these committees meet periodically to discuss the issues.
How do you make sure that there is geographic diversity?
Has been the focus since day one. Focus of the committee prior to my joining the committee. If you look at our current leadership, one goal was to make sure we had age and gender representation from the leadership to the top down. Mm-hmm. The second was to make sure that we had racial and demographic diversity, not just in terms of geographic diversity from across Marion County. That was a consideration as we filled the committee spots.
And so was there any thought of looking to make sure that key constituencies were represented?
Well, actually, Amos, I would say that we actually tried in some ways to avoid having what I would call the same old folks who are always at the table representative of this entire initiative. And so we tried to get rather than aim for key constituencies and key organizations and kind of stalwart people who've always had a voice, we tried to go outside of that and focus on making sure we had some new voices and new leadership on the table. And it was actually exciting because I think everybody at the table learned about someone new. If you look at who our committee chairs are, some of you may be familiar with Corey Wilson, who's at the University of Indianapolis. He is one of the co-chairs of our Serve Indy committee. Sharon Rogers was a phenomenal young executive in our community over at IU Health. She's the co-chair of our Choose Indy committee. Bill Shrewsbury, however, a longtime leader in the city of Indianapolis with an impeccable record and knowledge of the city, is our co-chair of our Work Indy committee. And if you look throughout, we have Amp Harris, who's on our Love Indy committee. Shannon Williams, who's on our Connect Indy. We've got folks from a variety of spectrums, Terrell Giles, who runs Hoosier Occupational, which is a local business employment. We've got folks from different segments of our city who I think will come together and bring bring a great perspective.
Let me walk through these committees because I'm supposed to be smart, but I don't understand them all. You've got something. You got this something called Choose Indy, and it says on the website, charged with creating the most livable community in the Midwest that competes regionally for residents to choose. What does that mean in English?
What that means is that committee is charged with developing and figuring out what is it about Indianapolis that makes an individual want to live here.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly in Marion County and in our core, I think that's a well-known issue that we've got to make sure that we are a first-choice city for new graduates. We're a first-choice city for companies and corporations and professionals. And those folks who graduate from Indianapolis, we want them to come back. We want them to stay here. So this committee is charged with figuring out how do we do that.
Will this committee look into some of the real negative perceptions that minorities have, that this is not a welcoming city for minority professionals?
I think it's going to look into not only first, I don't know if I agree with you totally that it's a negative. I've had a great experience, and I think some of the people on the committee will have had positive experiences here in Indianapolis, but those things are going to be on the table. We want to look at anything that's becoming a hindrance for professionals in general for living here in Indianapolis.
Will that committee look at the census EEO data that shows the penetration of minorities by occupational categories, whether the jobs are domiciled in Marion County or whether the people live in Marion County, to see where the disparities are?
I think so. I mean, I think the goal of the committee, obviously this committee may not be able to produce jobs per se.
Mm-hmm. But to look where the disparity, I know it's not a job to produce the jobs, but if you're saying choose Indy, then that's one of the committees. And there's this feeling and perception that in some industries, in some occupations, there's not been the level of penetration. If I took the data from 20 or 30 years ago and look at it today, I'm not seeing any difference in terms of the penetration and upward mobility of African Americans in this city. So if we're trying to, that may be one way we're losing people coming here because of that. So is Choose Indy going to, as part of this broad spectrum, be looking at that?
Well, I don't know that Jimmy and I don't think there's preconceived demands about what each committee should look at or not. I mean, mm-hmm. that's the bottom up mm-hmm. part that Jimmy was talking about. I mean, this is, now, the data, I think we want these committees to use resources, and they are staffed, as Jimmy said, to provide some data. So they're data driven, but also, you know, they want the public to tell them what's important, what should be considered.
All right. Connect Indy is charged with creating a community where residents have unparalleled access to places and information, providing unmatched mobility through a network of world-class transport. What does that mean in English? This website is written in like 48 cent, $3 words instead of real simple language. What does that mean? What is Connect Indy supposed to do?
Well, to have a successful city, you've got to be able to connect. And we're not just talking about mass transit.
Okay.
We're talking about connectivity in terms of media, in terms of how we disseminate information, how we disseminate opportunities, and what ways can we make sure that the people in our city are getting the information that you need.
Are the electronic media organizations, you mentioned that the Recorder is engaged, are the electronic media organizations in the city involved?
Yes, I think that I don't have the committee list in front of me, but there are both electronic media organizations. There are also, of course, organizations involved in mass transit, as you would expect, because there is a mass transit component. But we have been very broad-based in making sure that both of those initiatives are represented on the committee.
All right. Then the next committee y'all got is Love Indy. Sounds like you bring Barry White back with his voice. Love Indy, charged with creating a city that welcomes, engages, and inspires. A lovable Indy that builds upon its heritage and supports a diversity of people, authentic places, and experiences that foster civic pride and economic impact. Now, what's that one?
Well, I'm excited about Love Indy, and the way you say it gets me all excited over here, Amos. I'm just.
But what does that? Because okay. I'm looking at the two co-chairs of that leadership, and none are minority. And
you would be shocked to know that the project manager is a woman who loves Indy more than anyone else, and that's Molly Jeffords.
Okay.
Molly Jeffords. Molly has long been is known as the biggest cheerleader in Indianapolis, and she's African American. That committee has Leroy Lewis, mm-hmm. Maggie Lewis's a wonderful spouse, mm-hmm. Douglas Morris from Old Soul Entertainment, our own Amp Harris, mm-hmm. And Sam Odell. Mm-hmm. And so you have the representation there, but I think more clearly what Love Indy is about is making sure that we identify the things that make us love Indy. I mean, I think the general consensus has been we are too humble about our town. And there yep. are folks out here who feel very proud and love the many things that Indianapolis has to offer. And that, yes, there are also negatives that, like in any city, that all cities have their challenges. But we have a wonderful city with some beautiful things, particularly in the African American community. And our hope is to figure out a way, how do we create a plan that exemplifies that and amplifies that to anyone who might want to move here and to the folks who live here.
Serve Indy is dealing with creating the most civically engaged and committed community in the nation. Is part of Serve Indy's mission going to be creating a culture where the next generation, the Jimmy McMillans of the world, are communicating with their counterparts in the general community? Because unlike Murray and my generation, there's been a sharp breakdown in the cross-cultural communication among servant leaders of the next generation in the city. They do not talk to each other.
Well, one of the reasons this project exists is to get them to talk to each other. 45% of our Serve Indy committee is actually comprised of African Americans.
Now, that's not reflected on your website. When I looked under a commitment to diversity, I'm still seeing a quarter over here.
I think
particularly in leadership and staff.
I think that quarter is representative of the entire project. Mm-hmm. I don't have the website in front of me, but I believe that quarter looks at the entire project. But with respect to this particular committee, you're looking at 45%. The project manager for that committee as well is a very sharp and dedicated, hardworking young brother named Tyrone Humphrey. He's an independent consultant working on the project. That project is headed by Corey Wilson. You got Una Osley, who's Bob Osley's amazing and wonderful wife, Nadine Bonds, Dave Hampton, Jerry Black, Lavester Johnson.
Well, here's my nervousness. If Serve Indy is oversubscribed with minorities, then that would imply that the other committees will be undersubscribed. That's not cool.
No, the other committees are not undersubscribed. We have folks on every committee, we've got some superstars on every committee. And again, there are committee positions that are still open and we're still looking for folks. And I would like to see some people who have never had an opportunity to be at the table. Mm-hmm. I'd like to see, mom and pop store operators. I'd like to see people who have never had an opportunity to serve. That is the exact purpose why we held back spots, was to get community folks who are not necessarily working at Barnes and Thornburg to have a chance to speak and be a part of this process.
Are the meetings afternoon meetings, evening meetings, weekend meetings?
The committees are allowed to set their own meeting schedule. Some are morning meetings, some are afternoon. But one of the great things about this project is that we certainly are using technology to move forward. One of the things we have is this Mind Mixer online engagement process, where even if you're not in a committee, you will still have the opportunity to provide your thoughts online once that's up and running. We also have a fellowship program through City Courts where we're going to engage fellows to participate in the project. And then we have the hall, which mm-hmm. is our old city hall,
right,
where individuals and citizens can walk into the hall. There's thought walls. There's places where they can drop comments, put information in, learn more information about the process, and still be engaged. I did want to address your point about service in Indy. I think Serve Indy is reflective of our great success as a community in getting volunteer services. Mm-hmm. You know, that's one of the hallmark successes of our Super Bowl was that we were able to get so many volunteers to rally the troops. And that's one of the things that we've got to continue to do in the future, is figure out ways to stay connected, stay organized, and make sure our future generations understand the value of service.
And Work Indy is finding somebody a job?
Yes.
Yep. Is that people that live here or people you're trying to get to move here?
Both. We need both. We need the people who live here to work. We need people who want to move here and stay here and live in Marion County.
Mm-hmm. 239-1310. 239-1310 is afternoon's name. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll tell you, since they're looking for volunteers, we'll tell you how to volunteer. I got a couple of callers I want. I'd love them to volunteer. That would really be a test of how open you all are. It's called Plan 2020. Their website is plan2020.com. Plan2020.com. Murray Clark of Gypsy, Jimmy McMillan of Plan 2020. More after these. I'm glad she played that to remind my guest how long I've been around here. 239-1310. Let me go to the phones and Raymond. Hi there.
Good afternoon, Amos. I have a question.
Okay.
Well, and a comment. Mm-hmm. I have found that in recent past and even now that we've fallen short of concentrating on the African-American neighborhood and culture. And I know that there's the Speedway, there's Mass Ave for art, there's the South Side for industrial, the North Side for shopping and the affluent. But if you go up and down Washington Street, they have the Hispanic district and the other areas of town, and you're talking about major events. But within our city, the houses that were inherited by our young people, they're moving to the suburbs to apartments, and they're becoming abandoned and boarded up. And then the business that used to exist, the barbershop, the variety store, they're no longer there because they're big box stores. My question is, how much of the youth, the neighborhood, are you going to focus on, like, as these people are 15 years older, when your plan really goes in, that they may be, you know, some college education, but they're not going to be a lot who are wealthy or may be well enough to have a home in the city that is now up to 16th Street, probably $400,000, and only going to get higher as you grow the city and we become universal. What's the focus for us as African Americans to actually have a community up in the Hallville, Far East Side that are meeting for community meetings? But other than that, what do we do culturally?
How do those committees deal with that?
Well, I think that's what the committees from a bottom-up approach are trying to address is what do we want our community as a whole to look like? And I hope that folks, one of the things that I've been resistant to, I'm from Chicago, and we certainly have a segregated history ourselves of neighborhoods. But one of the things is you've seen a shift in that we have to get beyond thinking of ourselves as black neighborhoods, Latina neighborhoods, and we've got to think of Indianapolis as our neighborhood, where our cultural desires, our businesses, the things that we want are located throughout the city, whether it's downtown, the west side, the far east side. We need the city to think of its investment into all of those areas at the same level. You know, I want to see black businesses downtown. I like to see thriving black businesses on the west side. I like to see thriving black businesses on the east side. I like to see thriving black businesses down south. I think the committees are going to look at what are the cultural values that we want. Do we want green space in those neighborhoods? And how close do we want to live to those green spaces? What opportunities do we want to have in terms of education and the focus on education in those neighborhoods? Safety, obviously, and crime prevention. Culturally, in terms of employment opportunities, do we want labor districts, work districts? And so that's what these committees are doing the hard work at, and they're trying to figure it out. And we want to know from you. We want to hear from you. What do you want Indianapolis to look like culturally in the next 25 years?
This effort is an effort to help to impact the comprehensive use plan. In other words, how all the land in this space that's larger than New York City is going to be used, how our streets and roadways and the much maligned bicycle lanes are going to be used, the parks, recreation, and open space plan. What is the plan for the regional center, which is the fancy name that was created 30 years ago for downtown, the comprehensive economic development strategy, and the consolidated plan. What is this effort going to do to create better sensitivity of government in terms of being more sensitive and responsive to people? I'm going to use Murray and Jimmy, two examples. One, we got a neighborhood around 34th and Central, the area around the neighborhood around the Children's Museum, that's concerned about a proliferation of gas station convenience stores. And they feel frustrated that the city's attitude is wanting to make those things happen when the neighborhood is trying to reduce proliferation. And then if you were listening to the first hour of the program, the neighborhood around 10th and around 10th and 11th Street and Dr. and MLK, senior citizens coming from those two apartment complexes, the public housing unit on Indiana Avenue and the other unit just north of the Walker, walking to the convenience stores at 10th and 11th. They have asked the city for some kind of consideration, you know, on some kind of crosswalk or protection for people crossing 10th Street. DPW's attitude allegedly is non-responsive. Where, if you're talking about being more relatable in the community, being more involved and listening, you know, at what point does Plan 2020 have to make recommendations for government to be more responsive and listening?
Well, first of all, you know, I'm not sure this plan, the report okay. that will be derived from this plan will handle every particular, okay. you know, neighborhood problem. Mm-hmm. You know, like Jimmy explained, we're trying to establish, you know, the values going forward that will drive those plans you mentioned, whether they're the comprehensive zoning plan, regional plan, neighborhood plans, or whatever. So, and you know, the comp plan is the zoning plan. Right. It's, you know, to me, it's becoming more and more difficult in today's world to kind of form our community by blocks of desired zoning areas.
Right.
And so we hope to establish the values upon which these plans that supposedly logically are to drive the city's actions can be based.
Where is the value of listening by the big people to the little people?
Well, I mean, that's a rhetorical question, Amos.
It's a very real question.
No, but I mean, obvious. I mean, you don't need a Plan 2020 to say the government needs to listen to these issues.
Right.
I mean, we know that. Mm-hmm. And I know that, you know, I've observed, I've heard, I've read that there's frustration about the roads and streets and all of that stuff. And that's part of, you know, how government functions and how maybe we all don't get along sometimes in government. But this effort, though, is an effort to say that, you know, that the government is collaborating on, is a partner on, mm-hmm. is to say, you know what, we can draft these plans, mm-hmm. but really shouldn't the community, shouldn't the folks in the city be telling us the values going forward that we want these plans to be driven by. So in a way, the city is listening mm-hmm. at that level. Now on the micro level, you know, I think that's a different issue.
Jimmy, going back to your comment about neighborhoods and we're all one city, will this plan, as part of its report, document what the city is now? And the reason I say that is there are still a lot of people in the black community that think most black people live in Center Township. There's a good segment of the white community that thinks the same way. There are people that don't believe that the vast majority of African American students in Perry, Decatur, and Franklin Township live in those townships. If Tom Binford and the members of Gypsy that did the Pride back in the day when we desegregated right. the schools and busing, if they saw those figures today, they'd be smiling.
Yeah,
they'd be proud.
No question.
But we have great demographic ignorance about the reality of Indianapolis today. Where in this plan do we tell Indianapolis what it really is today?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a big piece of the puzzle. You know, that you were talking about generational differences. How Jimmy's so much younger than we are, Amos.
Mm-hmm. He has no
gray hair. I'm hurt, boy.
Yeah, he may have some gray hair, but I don't see any. But this city is a lot different than it was when we were Jimmy's age. I think the people in his generation do not have those preconceived notions about, you know, what communities look like and so in a way, the way we've tried to structure the leadership of this Plan 2020 to try to put forth folks that can participate on committees, not by the title they hold mm-hmm. necessarily, mm-hmm. but by, you know, their leadership skills and where they are, what they're involved in and so forth, to establish for people maybe in my generation who need to be educated that this, you know, this is what this city looks like now. Mm-hmm. Here's the real picture of the challenges this city has. Mm-hmm. And one thing I mentioned at the beginning was while there are great organizations that are doing great work in this city, mm-hmm. Gypsy is one of them, mm-hmm. and this Plan 2020 that is dealing from all nine townships, mm-hmm. from east to west, north to south, corner to corner. So this isn't a plan to try to make downtown look better, mm-hmm. or the west side or the east side. This is the entire city. You know, one of the challenges the city has in that regard is that we are a big city geographically. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're about the size of New York,
right.
acreage wise. Right. Now we're a lot more horizontal. You right. know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so your first question was, what about geographic diversity? And mm-hmm. we mentioned that specifically because mm-hmm. You go into different corners of this county, of this city, right. you find very different challenges, very different issues, very different problems, very different successes. So it's the charge of this committee to understand that. And the first thing that committees have to do is indeed do what you just said. You have to understand empirically, data-based information on what this city looks like right now.
Let me go to the phones and Poetic Me at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hey, Amos.
Hi.
Hey, I have a very interesting question. I think it's kind of piggybacking off of some things that you had said earlier, but I've been listening pretty much to the whole program, to the guys that just got to talking. What I'm concerned with is that why isn't that one, with all this exterior development that's going on and interior development in specific areas of Indianapolis, if in fact that you guys understand marketing and I would say, restoration and rejuvenation of this city to make it more likable, more lovable, as you said, then why don't some of you guys come out to these different areas and these different demographics, such as Hallville and such as Brightwood, Martindale, and such as, you know, Central and the old Northside District to really get a really clear eye view, not just guesstimation, not just, I would say, from what's being told to you. I'm talking about bird eye view. Get out here and find out what the needs are in these communities so that there can be some real reconstruction or some real restoration that will make things applicable so that these number of things that you're talking about, one to have people to be able to work not only here, but only those, and also those who would come here to want to find jobs and want to live here. And another thing is, with all this, these buildings that's going on, buildings in different areas and new businesses is coming in. Why doesn't anyone come up with a concept of trying to take on these new ideas and avenues that's going to be established here in Indianapolis, Indiana alone, and start working towards building a type of brigade that would be invested back into public schools and back into colleges and things and resources so that type of flow can keep going because that's a market in itself. And then I'm going to let you answer that question best way you know how.
I think,
appreciate it. Thanks.
I think you're right on point. I mean, I think that's the focus of what we're trying to do. First, in terms of going into the communities, I actually spend a significant amount of time in all the communities that you mentioned. My sphere of influence goes far beyond the downtown range. I'm actually the vice president of the largest motorcycle club in the city, 317 Riders. I do a lot of community work. I sit on boards in some of the areas that you reference, and have friends and relatives who live in pretty much every community that you've mentioned. And so I do think it's vitally important that we get people from those communities to speak, and I hope that the folks from the community will go to the Plan 2020 website and join and put in applications to join some of these committees because we want to hear your voice from the ground level. We are also, our project managers are collecting data and getting involved and connecting our committees with organizations and communities in those neighborhoods to get information and gather information about what's going on out there, real world information across Indianapolis. I think your bigger the bigger points you make about how does the plan to attract businesses, attract new residents, attract new investments, affect those folks in the neighborhood, in those neighborhoods. And the reality is we've got to generate revenue as a city. We've got to generate tax revenue. We've got to generate investments. You know, we've got to make pathways so that the conversation about African Americans is about how do we empower more African Americans so that we can financially invest in ourselves. That is my personal goal, that how can we make more rich black people? Because I want rich black people. I think we all should want rich black people. And if it means bringing jobs here and bringing businesses here, if it means having more construction projects, if it means having companies come here who can hire our students after they graduate from high school and graduate from college, I think that's a goal that we all should work towards and should be working on. Certainly from an educational standpoint, we're trying to create the opportunities that will finance finance the goal of having some of the top schools in the country, which I think we can do. But it's a universal plan, and that's what we're coming together under this Plan 2020 banner to try to think about, like other cities are doing, how can we make our city more attractive and reach some of the goals that I think we all share.
Back to the phones, and Tina, hi there.
How you doing, Amos? I'm trying to figure out how can they make all these plans when you got people here that's in a low-income housing and do not have the funds to participate in half the things that they got going on out here in the state. They got bike riding that you got to pay $7 for. It don't make no sense. People can't afford to go ride a bike for $7. And then you got kids out here that don't have bikes, so how is they going to ride bikes on the streets anyway?
Will, as you looked at the plan and you looked at economics and given the sharp fall off in income in this city, in median household income over during this recession, while the minority communities continue to grow. So, you know, how do you answer that? You know, because this came up, the light company was here yesterday and they got raked over the coals in terms of a perception of a lack of understanding of people trying, you know, to just meet their basic needs in this city.
It's a challenge all over the country. I think it's not just an urban challenge. It's also a rural challenge, but it's a challenge that we've got to meet. And we can't continue focusing on the problem without thinking about the solutions. This is a solution-based initiative. I understand the issues. As a person who came from the south side of Chicago with a one working parent, mother, who flunked out of college, mm-hmm. I definitely understand the challenges. But what got me to where I'm at right now was investing in myself, looking at myself and what I could change, and having folks who invested in me and allowed me to get back in school. And I think we've got to do that as a community. We've got to, those of us who have made it or so-called made it, mm-hmm. have to use projects and programs like this to figure out, if we know our communities and societies the way we think we know them, how can we partner with government, partner with those who are interested, and create more pathways for opportunities? Because you said it best. We have to listen. Listening is one. Two, we have to figure out how we're
going
to act.
Will the committees be going out into the neighborhoods listening? You said that staff is gathering input. You know, how are they going out there?
Well, again, the committees now are kind of just starting their business. We're not dictating what they do, but the hope is that they have outreach in one way or another, or more than one way, in the different communities in this city. So indeed, they may go out there as a holder to a community. They may bring community leaders from particular communities in to speak or be a part of the committee or to provide input, data, or the like.
This project will be completed when?
Well, it's scheduled to end at the end of 2015. We hope to have a draft report by the end of this year. But we had the open house the other night. We're really at the operative beginning in that now is the time for input on these committees.
It's Plan 2020. We're with Jimmy McMillan and Murray Clark. We'll be back with our remaining moments after these. All right. If you want more information about Plan 2020, it's real simple. It's called Plan 2020. Plan2020.com. Plan2020.com. So now, Jimmy McMillan, you got five committees, right?
Yes.
Okay. And I got 5 days in a week, last time I checked.
Seven.
No, I work weekdays. I don't work Saturday and Sunday. Seniority.
That's the difference between McMillan and you.
I work at Barnes & Thornburg. We work seven.
Yeah, well, that's
they'd work eight if they were 8 days
a week. That's why I didn't become a real lawyer, just an honorary one on radio. So if during the summer and going into the fall, on days when we don't have the 8,000 candidates, the school board candidates that are coming on the show for the election, we would love to have the committee come on and let the smartest talk show audience in the world, you know, bring suggestions, and then they can write. It's all, everything's recorded. We can give you the MP3 of the WAV file. Y'all can have that to your heart's content. And a way that that this great audience from all over the city and the county can give their suggestions for each topic.
Amos, there's a reason why you've been at this for so long. It's because you're a genius, and I think that'd be a fantastic opportunity for us to do. And I think
and now for people to sign up for committees, they go to the website. What do they click on? Do we know?
Should be a nomination.
Is there a nomination? Looking at, oh, it's engage. Is that where you hit engage?
Yes.
Sign up to touch. Is that it, Mr. PR guy? They touch engage. You can come in here. I don't bite.
Well,
most of the time
under committee.
Under committee. So they would go to plan2020.com, click committees and join a committee. So some of y'all that call this show and you've got concerns and criticisms and you want to see the put them to the test. Go to plan2020.com, click on committee nominations and enter and sign in, please. That's how you do it.
Yep.
And who knows? We may get some listeners on the show who have better ideas than I would have. Jimmy McMillan with Plan 2020. Murray Clark, the president, head guy, chair of the Greater Indianapolis Progress Committee. You're sitting in some big shoes of previous chairs of that, going way back in the day.
It's a great organization. Proud to be the chair.
It's always good to see you.